Now, most of you, if not every one of you here, have heard the main points of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. So the gospel of Jesus Christ could be restated to be the good news of Jesus Christ. If I could have only 5 words to say the gospel, I would say, Jesus died for our sins. But there are millions of people in this world who say they believe this, who really don't understand or really believe the gospel the way the Bible talks about. To most people, that statement, Jesus died for our sins, is really not that important. It doesn't impact their life. It's really not good news. I'm just wondering if this describes your view of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If so, what I'd like to do, everybody has different things they believe here. I understand that. But what I'd like to do is try to explain to you why the true believers think it really is good news. See, before a person can value the gospel of Jesus Christ, they must perceive a need for it. Most people don't perceive the need for a Savior of their sins, someone to save them from their sins. They think that they're already okay. So why do I need a Savior? I'm not that bad. So I don't know if you've ever done this, but you could ask a person, any person out on the street, so do you think you're a good person? And you know, most of the time you're going to get, yeah. See, people compare themselves with other people. And they tell themselves they're really not that bad. They might think something like this. There's a lot of murderers. I see them on TV. I've never killed anyone. I must not be that bad. In the end, if there is a heaven and a hell, I'll probably be there in heaven. So this reasoning seems reasonable to human beings. But I want you to know that it contradicts the Bible. Now, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. Now, if that's true, which I believe it is, it really doesn't matter what a person hopes is true or believes is true. If their belief contradicts the Bible, it's false hope. So consider briefly what the Bible teaches, and unless you agree with what I'm going to tell you here, then the statement, Jesus died for our sins, probably won't be that relevant to you. Jesus said, if you ever call someone a name or get mad at them, you're guilty of murder in your heart. Now, this means, according to Jesus, every one of us in this room are guilty of murdering with our heart thousands of people. One of the worst things about that is that includes those closest to us. The Bible has this phrase in it someplace in Isaiah 53:6. It says, all of us are like sheep. We're gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. So we're self-driven and we're selfish by nature. While we may think we're pretty good, not that bad, we really are selfish. So I'm going to read a little passage of Scripture here, just about 3 verses. And I want to see you. Let you hear it to see if you think this lines up with your understanding of yourself. See, the Bible has lots of passages like this in it. It says, just as they did not see fit. This is an explanation of the way the Bible describes the human being, the human condition, us. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, God gave them a conscience, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, if a person doesn't agree with this assessment, then the statement, Jesus died for our sins, will not be that important. After all, I don't need to be saved. I'm already fine, just the way I am. Let me call your attention to one of those phrases, haters of God. Most people I've talked to, and I've talked to thousands about this, they don't really see themselves as haters of God. But God does. See, the Bible says that God created everything, including us, everything that exists, and He owns us. He can do with us whatever He pleases. It says that He graciously gives us breath, food, everything we need to live. And it says, based upon this alone, this premise, that we owe Him perfect obedience, 100% of the time, every minute of our life. And how do we repay Him? This is how we repay Him. Thousands of times, millions of times perhaps in our life, we knew we weren't supposed to do things. Our conscience was telling us this. We did it anyway because we wanted to do it. Well, God views this as hostility towards Him. He owns us. He has the right to call the shots. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. So it is like slapping Him in the face. It's very insulting. Just like when your child rebels. Now, some people will acknowledge they are sinners, yet they don't feel the weight of it. They say, yeah, I'm a sinner, but nobody's perfect. Let me suggest to you that minimizes the vile nature of sin. It's sort of like, he understands, everybody does it. But I tell you what, there's one more thing I want to talk about here that the Bible teaches that makes this even a more serious predicament. It says that God is holy and He's absolute in His righteousness. Most people don't understand this concept about God. They think of God as all-forgiving. And the Bible does say that God is merciful. He's greatly merciful, loving God. It says that He doesn't really want anyone to perish. But while this is true, the Bible says that God can't just forgive the way people think. He can't just pretend like our sins didn't happen. Sweep them under the rug. He can't do that because He's perfect in His righteousness. It says that this phrase you'll hear in the Bible, you read it. God will not let the guilty go unpunished. And according to the Bible, every person on earth is guilty of breaking God's laws and deserving of punishment. And yet, God desires to forgive. Listen to this verse. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. I think deep down inside, even if a person's an atheist, which I used to be, they would like to know, if there is a God, can I be forgiven? So, if you want to understand this phrase, Jesus died for our sins, a little better, listen to the following statement. I'm going to say this statement twice to get it through, because this gets at the heart of this gospel of Jesus Christ. In order to be able to forgive without compromising His absolute righteousness, God had to make a way to forgive while still punishing the sin. I'm going to say it again. In order to be able to forgive without compromising His absolute righteousness, God had to make a way to forgive while still punishing the sin. See, before He created the world, He planned to come here to die, to live a perfect life without sin in order to be a satisfying sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. He came here to redeem us from our sins. He came here to take our punishment. This is love, man. He was innocent. Now, had Jesus not come here and died, according to the Bible, everyone that ever lived would have to go to hell forever. Because God is, He can't just let the sin go. He's holy. No, He can't have sin come to Him. But Jesus did come. He came to pay our ransom. And His death on the cross satisfied God's demand for righteousness. Payment complete. Payment in full. So the sins have been punished. So now, hear the good news. If you see yourself as a sinner, deserving of God's wrath, if you see yourself that way, Jesus died for your sins. He took your punishment. If you believe from your heart that Jesus died for you this way and rose from the dead, the Bible declares forgiveness for you. Forgiveness of sins and eternal life. If you see yourself the way the Bible describes you, this is good news. This is good news. If you don't see yourself this way, I can't make the news any better sounding. Jesus said, I have to tell you this last thing. If you think this is good news, if the dots have somehow been connected for you a little better today, I don't know. But if that's true and you're considering Jesus Christ, seriously, I have to warn you about something. Jesus said, unless a man loses his life, he will not find it. See, if you ever truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and embrace Jesus as your Savior, your life will never be the same. You will lose the life you currently know. He will take it away and give you a whole new life. He will make you into a new person who desires to please God rather than yourself. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. So what I'm describing, what I've been talking about, is not a religion. It's the supernatural power of God that makes people who are born spiritually dead alive to God and forever new. See, each one of you has heard the gospel. You may not have heard it, you may have closed your ears this morning, but each one of you and all of us have a responsibility to do something about what we've heard. If you shrug it off and die in your sins, the Bible declares that you will spend eternity in hell. So I urge you to let go of your life and begin trusting in and clinging to Jesus Christ for eternal life.